You're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm Austin Meek with WacoBusinessNews.com, and my guest today is Summer Shine, owner of Luna Juice Bar. Summer is a recovery success story. She overcame a history of drug abuse and turned her life in a healthy direction, starting a company that serves fresh, cold-pressed juices and whole food smoothies to thousands of customers every year at the Magnolia Silos, as well as farmers markets around the state. We talk about how her checkered past prepared her for the life of an industrious entrepreneur. But it's August now, which means there's a ton of activity happening in downtown Waco. So before we jump into my conversation with Summer, it's the word on the street. On Tuesday, two proposals were heard by the City Council regarding the redevelopment of Heritage Square. The 2.3-acre plot, currently used as surface parking and for major events like the Texas Food Truck Showdown and Waco Wonderland, is a prime candidate for creating density and connecting North Downtown with its central business district. The first group presented a project called the Civic Center that would develop 550,000 square feet of office, 100,000 square feet of restaurant and retail, an urban park, and 1,200 spaces of underground parking. The team is fronted by local urban planner Chris McGowan, who served as the Waco Chamber's Director of Urban Development for 8.5 years, and Philip Williams, a Dallas area developer who's invested millions in office, industrial, and mixed-use projects across the state. They also feature some of Waco's elite professional groups like Walker Partners and RBDR Architects.
This team has spent over a year working with local and national experts in a variety of areas to evaluate various development options in order to determine the best project for this site. Our vision is to create an active, prosperous, adaptable, and iconic civic center in downtown Waco. We will do this by bringing modern office space, urban parks, and neighbor retail to downtown Waco, creating a dynamic, sustainable, and vibrant connecting point for our community.
The Civic Center plan for Heritage Square and the nearby downtown properties would have a $1.5 billion impact on the local economy and create 9,000 new jobs over the next decade and more.
Working with this group is one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done. I've been involved in a lot of things in downtown Waco, and being here today with this project is easily one of the most exciting things I've ever been a part of.
Waco City Council members applauded the group's ambition, and I like it too. When you're shopping for your kid who's going through a growth spurt, it doesn't make any sense to buy their current size when you know they'll pop out of it by the end of the summer. Our city is booming, and our size should be much higher than simply meeting today's needs. The second group presented a concept called Heritage Crossing. Led by federal judge Ed Kincaid and his son Brad, their project would bring 33,000 square feet of creative office space, a 10 to 20,000 square foot grocery store, chef-driven restaurants, a boutique retail center, and a tornado memorial that would double as a trolley stop.
Originally, we didn't realize when we started working on this, this is on the Chisholm Trail. And this part of the Chisholm Trail was where it was a gathering place where people would come to sell their mules, sell their horses, sell their fruits and vegetables, was at this very location. And so we thought, man, that's great. Let's enlarge on that and remember what the heritage of this is that that's what this was. This was a gathering place. And so we've used that in our design.
Kincaid had the entire room rolling with his wry comments and storytelling, and you can tell his years in the courtroom have made him very comfortable on the stand. His commitment to bringing a grocery store checks off a big item on my downtown wish list.
I'm a reasonably persuasive guy, and I'm going to depend on Brad and on me to persuade these folks, and we've had those meetings, and I did not fly 4,588 miles yesterday from Scotland if I couldn't bring a specialty grocer here. We will bring a specialty grocer to that space.
City staff recommended the Civic Center project, but it's now up to the City Council to look into both proposals further and negotiate with the developers. I'll be sure to keep you posted here and at WacoBusinessNews.com. The Waco 52 art exhibit that Fiona Bond told us about on Downtown Depot in June has finally made its way to Waco after a brief period at the state capitol. The show opens tonight at the Croft Gallery at 712 Austin Avenue and will host multiple events throughout the month of August. They're putting on farm-to-table dinners, brunches, yoga classes, and calligraphy workshops. I'll be volunteering at the exhibition on Monday, August 7th, from 4 to 6 p.m., and I'd love to connect with any Downtown Depot listeners, so be sure to say hi while you're checking out the artwork. One of the reasons I wanted to have Summer Shine as my guest this week is that she's also involved with Waco 52. She's running a Luna Juice pop-up bar at the art show, so you'll be able to hear her story today and then see her in action tonight. Her path to entrepreneurial freedom is different from any of my other guests on this show, and personally, it's one of the most inspirational tales we've shared on Downtown Depot. Before we get into the history and trajectory of your business, Summer, why don't you tell me a little bit about how you ended up here in Waco?
I came to Waco to go to rehab. I went to the Freeman Center, which is no longer open, which saddens me greatly. But I lived in Austin, total party town. So I came to Waco to go to a 90-day treatment facility, and I loved it there. I ended up being on the board of directors at the Freeman Center, and then later on became an employee at the Freeman Center. So, yeah.
So what year was this that you first came to Waco?
2007.
And have you been here since then?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let's talk about that transition from rehab to now owning a business that isn't just a local business. Luna Juice Bar, of course, has its famous trailer there at the Magnolia Silos, but you guys can be found in Temple, in Tyler, in Harker Heights.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty aggressive expansion for you over the last 10 years. Talk a little bit about that journey and how the seed for Luna Juice got planted.
Well, the journey has been an amazing one. Just any time that you get sober, you know, you're at your very bottom of where you came from and you're able to rise like a phoenix out of the ashes. It feels really, really good. And coming to Waco was instrumental in me being able to get sober and stay sober. And I haven't been sober since 2007. But I have mostly been sober since 2007. There have been several relapses and things like that. So I came here and met my husband pretty shortly after I moved here. And he's been a real stable rock in my world. And Waco is a place where I could meet friends, find friends, and it was easy to stay connected with them. And that was not the case in Austin. You know, there's so many people there, and you don't see the same people in HEB, but you do in Waco. You see the same people every time you go to HEB, I promise you that. I started Luna Juice. The last time I got sober, it was probably the worst relapse I've ever had in my life, was in 2012, and I relapsed for, I drank and, you know, did other drugs, illicit drugs, for about a year. And in that time, I just destroyed everything, every relationship I had, I didn't have a car, I didn't have two shoes that matched, I didn't have clothing that was appropriate to wear outside. You know, I mean, seriously, it was just an awful pit of hell. And in September of 2013, I realized I was either going to keep living the way I was living or I was going to try to do something different. And so I did. I went to treatment in a place in Victoria, and they had a program that helped women write business plans and start businesses. And I was really excited about that. That was something, you know, I had been in the restaurant industry my whole life, loved the restaurant industry, but just never really felt connected. You know, I'd still call in if the day was too pretty and I felt like I needed to go to the lake, you know, because I didn't feel real connected. So I started Luna Juice. I started Luna Juice 3.5 years ago when I had 6 months sober. And it's been a wild ride since then. I mean, in 3.5 years, like you said, we have expanded all over the place. We've got the food truck. We're opening up a storefront here in Waco soon. And, you know, it went from me juicing every day and just me and a juicer and a dream and a couple of farmers markets to, you know, having 10 to 15 employees and being all over the place and getting to do cool things like come be on your show, you know, just anyway, it's been a wild ride and a really cool experience and a huge part of my recovery. I mean, a huge part of my recovery. I don't know when I would have time to drink or use drugs, you know, literally there's no time in my day. So, yeah, that's it.
Well, that's incredible. Congratulations. I know that the road to recovery is not always smooth.
Right.
It's really inspirational to see that you took what could have been just another relapse,
yeah,
and you channeled that into something that was positive. And it seems like the time that you had there working on the business plan with that mentorship, that seemed to really affect you and has affected the way that you view other entrepreneurs. I know that you personally spend a lot of time talking with any time that I'm with you. There's other people around asking you questions. How did this happen? I remember when I went to your presentation at 1 Million Cups and you were telling a little bit of your story. The flood of people talking to you afterwards was just so incredible and amazing that you've been able to use your story and you're willing to share that, because so often, especially with addiction, there's just this shroud that covers it that we don't want to share.
Yeah. I always think it's really funny when people are like, I don't want to talk about my addiction, because, man, when you were going through it, everybody knew, you know? I mean, like...
Yeah, we all know anyway, dude. You're over there slumped in the corner. Yeah, we get it.
Exactly. You were on the front page of the paper because you ran your car through a building, and yet you don't want to talk about your addiction? Like, okay. I'm a pretty public person, and I'm an extrovert, like 30 on the scale of extrovert is the most extrovert you can get. And so people know my story, and they know the bad parts of it, and they know the good parts of it. And my life is so incredible today that it would be a tragedy to not share, you know, like that I literally came from the bottom. I started from the bottom. Now I'm here.
So
should I stop?
When you no, you can drop Drake anytime you want.
Thank you.
When you think back to the periods of addiction in your life, and obviously you've made some really significant changes in the way that your day-to-day life operates, but is there anything that you can think of from that period that is useful for you today?
Oh my gosh, yeah, totally. I mean, so, I don't know, people may have this idea that addiction is lazy, or that you are not, you know, you're not doing anything with your life whenever you're out there. But really the thing is I was working from sunup to sundown to get drugs, you know, and so I'm constantly having to think of new ways to get money and new ways to move around and constantly on guard. And so some of those things, I have a mentor, my mentor from Victoria, and she tells me this all the time. And she says, all the skills that you were using in your addiction are God-given skills. You were just using them in the wrong way. You know, I was manipulative. I was, you know, and she was like, manipulation is a great thing as long as you're using it for the kingdom. And we just word it differently. It's not manipulation anymore. It's convincing, you know, or whatever it is, maneuvering, you know. And so, the fact that I survived, you know, like that I lived through the things that I lived through, especially in the last month or so of my addiction, it was just so bad. I really thought I was going to die several times, ended up in the hospital a bunch. And so the fact that I lived, that like steadfastness, that willingness, that like, you know, like here we go again. And I failed, you know, I kept failing. I failed at getting sober. I never could stay sober for more than a couple of years. And, so the fact that I can fall down and get back up is a huge asset whenever you run a business, because I fail all the time at business. I mean, all the time. And instead of like failing and then laying around on the ground and rolling around and being like, I failed again, I'm just like, all right, we failed at that. Let's try it again. Let's get back up and go again. So
my mother works with a program called the Prison Entrepreneurship Program, PEP. And they teach them a lot of what you learned in Victoria. Hey, let's come up with a plan for when you get out, how you can get on the right track. And what you did there in Victoria gave you the plan, even though I'm sure there were some redos along the line.
Totally.
But knowing that, well, okay, here I am. I've been strung out on the side of the road for 2 weeks. And then here's someone telling me that they see the sin inside of me, the manipulation that you're talking about. And they see that as a gift, as something that like I'm really good at, and I can use that to grow. That's just an incredible opportunity that you were given there.
Yeah.
And it's so great to see that you really have been paying it forward.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I love hiring people with a pass. That's a huge thing that we do. We've got our goal is to have 25% of our staff either be in recovery, some sort of recovery, or from trauma past. Right now, we're sitting about 50%.
Wow.
Yeah, which is really cool. I tell people all the time, you don't have to be on probation or parole to work for us, but it helps.
A very tough hiring process at Leonard Grease Farm, I'm sure. But how amazing for these employees that you have to get to see an example like you every single day.
Yeah, they get to see what recovery in action looks like, and it's really cool. I actually got a phone call from the people in Victoria a couple of days ago, and she just said, these girls don't know how to live life in recovery. They get all bogged down, and they think it's too much. And so I'm actually going back to teach a class there called Functional Recovery. Like, how do you – because I have an amazing home life. You know, my family doesn't get ignored. My friends don't get ignored. I have a great social life. I have a great spiritual life, spiritual practice. I work out. I work, you know, 60 hours a week, and I still get, you know, 7 hours of sleep every night. And so how does that happen without, you know, where are all the hours, where do those all fit in? And part of the reason I think it is cool that I hire addicts is they get to see, like, there is functional recovery. You can come to work your 30 to 40 hours a week, still do recovery, and still have, you know, not ignore your friends and family either. And so that's my favorite part about hiring addicts. Not to mention, they've got something to prove, and so they're my best employees. They're the ones that think I've got to go in, or they're going to think I'm using or drinking, you know? And sure enough, I know most of their sponsors, and so if I think you're slipping up, they all know when I hire them, I will call your sponsor, and I will tell your sponsor that I think you're slipping up, you know? So anyway, yeah.
You're listening to Downtown Depot on KWBU FM. I'm speaking with Summer Shine, owner of Luna Juice Bar. Take me into the business a little bit, Summer. So it appears, at least from the outside, that Luna has been incredibly successful. What do you attribute that success to?
Well, we have a great product. So when you have a good product, that's a good baseline. And I could tell you that that's enough, but it's not, you know. We also have a good story, and we're doing the best that we're doing the most good that we can with that story. So when I started Luna Juice, I thought, I'm just going to make a little juice and make a little smoothie, and this is going to be kind of like my hobby that keeps me busy so I don't go back to using drugs. And, of course, it has turned into this huge – I mean, it's a monster. Every day I wake up and think, oh, my God, how did that happen? How did they hear about it?
And did it come about as a result of you wanting to do something healthy because you'd been living unhealthily?
Yes. Okay. So I'm a pretty extreme person, one extreme or the other. So I'm either like – killing myself or making myself totally healthy. So I'm either out there doing drugs and really messing up and not eating, or I'm planning my food out for the entire month, working out every morning at 5:30, you know, really working hard. And so it was important for me to take that pendulum swing from being on drugs to you know, making smoothies every morning for breakfast. And I had been doing that for a long time. I got interested in food when I was – I've been in the restaurant industry my whole life. That's basically the only job I've ever had. And I got into healthy food whenever I was pregnant with my oldest son, who's 19 now. But at the time, there was no Google. There were just encyclopedias. And so I started looking up the effects of milk, dairy on your body, and figured out that milk doesn't do a body good. You know, milk is actually inflammatory to your body. And so whenever I figured that out, and I was like, well, what else have I been told that might be good for me that's not? And I started learning about sugars and wheats and all kinds of crazy stuff. And it sent me off into a black hole. And I came out of that black hole with a bunch of knowledge and knowing how to make really healthy juices and smoothies, and I love doing it. And there wasn't a lot of competition here in Waco at the time. Me and my main competitor popped up at the same time. I mean, literally opened in the same week. And so...
And is this OM Juice?
Yeah. Love them. Good plug for them. They're a great company. Love OMJ. They're right around the corner from Olive Branch, in case anybody's wondering. But anyway, yeah. So we popped up and... it took off. People loved our product. And then they also loved to know that when they're buying something from Luna Juice, they're also helping out addicts who are in recovery. So that was a great thing.
The location that you have at Magnolia, I would imagine, is your most popular location.
It is the busiest location, for sure. I can contribute a huge amount of success to being at Magnolia. It's been a great thing for us, and we meet people from all over the world, so that's been really cool, too.
So what has your experience been like there dealing with the Magnolia effect?
Well, we have, you know, it was a lot of growth all at once. And so there've been some bumps in the road, of course. There's no way that you can, my husband tells me this all the time, there's no way that you can expand as quickly as they did or as we did even without some haters. And so we have seen a lot. We don't see a whole lot of local people, which makes us really sad because it's not hard. We park there every day, you know, and so we hear that a lot. Well, you can't park. Well, I'm from Austin. Yeah, you can. There's parking right down the street. There's parking right behind my truck, you know. So we hear a lot of things that just go along with quick expansion and growing so fast. And sometimes things happen. You know, you're always going to make somebody mad. I make somebody mad, I'm sure, weekly or daily, maybe even. But it's not on purpose, you know. And I lived in Waco before Waco was cool, you know. And so I love the things that have changed because of Magnolia. And I know there's been other things in the past that have brought a lot of commerce and industry into Waco, and then they've faded out. And so Waco builds up, and then it goes away, and then it builds up and it goes away. But it's withstood the test of time. And so I think that I think this is a good thing. I'm really glad that Magnolia has come and brought the tourism. And I know that it's inconvenient sometimes whenever you're driving in that area or parking in that area. But come on, people. Do we want to go back to how Waco was 10 years ago? Or is this new norm okay? And I love the new norm. So
I think that's a really interesting conversation to have, though, is what kind of city do we really want? Because it's second nature for me to want a city where there is traffic because we have a ton of people downtown, because I hope that some of them are going to come to Pokio's.
Right.
But I totally understand the person who lives in Hewitt who is used to spending 12 minutes to get from their front door to their office in downtown,
totally.
And now they can't.
Totally. Well, I lived in Austin in the early 2000s. You know, I was there during Y2K, and I lived there for 5 years before that, and I lived there for 10 years after that. And I saw the expansion in Austin, and I saw it change. It went from this hippy-dippy, laid-back college town, small college town, to the population doubling in a year. And all of a sudden it was people from California. It was all these techies. The landscape changed. The water, you couldn't be naked at the watering hole anymore. You know what I mean? Like it did change a whole lot. But the things that have come along with that, some of them have been really great and some of them have been really pitiful. But that's life. You know, it's just life. So,
well, and it comes with scaling anything. In the way that you have scaled Luna Juice, you go from one truck and now you have multiple locations. Our city is scaling.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a city that was only meant for 120,000 people.
Yeah.
And it's growing. And with that comes more traffic, of course, but that's also the reason why you're going to get another amazing restaurant that comes downtown.
That's
and
right.
$100 million riverfront development. Yesterday, I went to the city council meeting where we were talking about the Heritage Crossing development.
Yes.
Right across from Coach's Smoke, and the incredible plans that these amazing developers have. And they see Waco as a spot where, yeah, we want to go invest $500 million in this. These were conversations that weren't happening before Magnolia.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. So you can look at it negatively if you want. I tend to see the brighter side of life all the time. Maybe to a fault, I see the brighter side of life. So I'm really grateful for Magnolia. I'm certainly grateful for what they've done for my business. You know, like we were a delivery, just one kitchen, two employee business until Magnolia came along.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
And knowing the steward that you are with your business and the other people's lives that you are positively affecting, I'm sure that makes them even more grateful that they took a bet on you.
Yeah, I hope it does. I really hope they can see what we're doing and that they're excited about the lives that we're changing. And I think at the heart of who they are, at the heart of who Chip and Joanna are, they want to help people. And so that is how we got in, I am sure. I am sure that they had heard my story and that they knew what we were doing, and that is why we got in. So, because we are the most popular food truck out there between March and August, and then we are the least popular food truck between September and February, just because juice is seasonal, watermelons are seasonal, smoothies are seasonal. So the fact that they've let us stay, even though there's never a line at our at our truck between September and February, really, it makes me happy. So
you ever think about driving that truck down to Cancun and just parking for the winter?
Every single day.
Talk to me about the storefront. You have something coming up on Austin Avenue.
Yeah, absolutely. Right across the street from Saronia. We are building out a storefront, commissary kitchen, manufacturing kitchen, and we're really, really excited about that because we've got limited space on the food truck, so we can only do so much. We've got soups and salads and juice and smoothies on the truck now, but we're really going to expand that menu and bring out some really cool tricks out of our hat. So...
And will this be quick to-go service, like you pick up a salad and you roll, or is it going to be a cafe?
We will have some seating. Yeah, we will have some seating. It'll be mostly picking things up and rolling out with it. We're also going to incorporate our delivery. We do delivery right now, and a lot of people don't know about it. There's home delivery once a week, you know, for big deliveries, juices and smoothie, things like that. But we're going to incorporate a lunchtime delivery to downtown Waco so that people can get soups and salads delivered straight to their office. And they can swing in and scoop it up. They can call ahead and we'll meet them outside. We're just going to make it a lot more convenient to come get goodies.
It seems like that uptown area that you're moving into has really perked up, and within the next couple of years, it's going to look pretty different.
Oh, totally. Half the shops that are there right now weren't there. You know, Saronia has always been there, which, God bless, they are such a great – I love being across the street from Saronia. They're an amazing example of how to, you know, stay in business, how to have quality product and stay in business while you're – the ebbs and flows of Waco, you know, so we're really excited to be in that area. And there's lots of cute little shops right there that have just popped up recently. So, yeah, I think the landscape down there is changing for sure. And it's exciting to be a part of that.
And will you still have the truck at Magnolia?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We will definitely still have the truck at Magnolia. So,
well, Summer, you are changing the face of Waco.
Well, thanks, man.
And really going to be putting your imprint there on the uptown area. That area, it has been the shops like Saronia and sort of more of the home goods type. But it's really exciting to have a little bit of food in there, a little bit of drink in there, because I think that it'll change the complexion of that neighborhood.
For sure. Yeah, we think so too.
Well, Summer, thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
That's our show for this week, but be sure to find Waco Business News on Twitter and Facebook for updates in between shows. I'm Austin Meek of WacoBusinessNews.com, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.